Well, happy Thanksgiving. It's just a few days away, and we're gathered for a very special time this morning. I'd like to begin in just a moment by reading a psalm. I'm not going to be preaching from the psalm, but I think it's just a wonderful psalm of thanksgiving. You know, if Thanksgiving is a little more subdued for us, all of us this year, it's probably understandable. In 2020, we've had the battle of this pandemic since March, and I think it's wearing on everybody. We just finished, and it's not totally done, a contentious election. In our church, several good people, people that we loved, have been taken from us and have gone home to heaven, and that's tough. Our economy has suffered because of the pandemic, and then as I'm well aware, and I'm not the only one, several of us have suffered some physical conditions this year that we hadn't counted on. And so it would be normal, because we're human, to be a little subdued this year in our thanks to God. But yet, we still have a lot to be grateful for, don't we? So much. We just sang that beautiful song, He is good. He is good. And one thing I've found through the years is that God is good all the time. Circumstances aren't always good. In fact, circumstances can plain stink sometimes, you know. But God is good. And so I'm so thankful for that. Let me begin by reading Psalm 100 to you. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. Heavenly Father, today as we begin this service, we ask that the Spirit of God would minister to us. Lord, in a moment we're going to hear a couple testimonies, and may the testimonies we hear warm our hearts and bless us. Lord, as we open the Word of God, may the Word of God be sweet to us today. And then, Lord, as we go into the Lord's table, may it somehow be a little more precious than it's ever been before because of the circumstances of this Thanksgiving. And so, Lord, we make a joyful noise to You. We enter into Your gates with thanksgiving and into Your courts with praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the last two Sundays, we've preached a series that we picked up from last Thanksgiving, Thank You Notes to God. And 2 weeks ago, I preached a message, Thank You, God, for This Good Day. And in just a moment, Lauren Monk's going to come. I challenged all of you to write a thank you note to God and say, thank you, God, for this good day and why the day that you're in is such a good day, blessed by God. And then last week it was thank you, God, for your church, God's wonderful gift to us of the local church. And then after Lauren, we're going to hear a testimony by Jeremy Willis, who will share with us. And so if you want to come, just come to right here, Lauren, and then Jeremy, just follow as soon as Lauren's done.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for each new day that you give to me. Thank you with all my heart for my salvation. It gives me reason to rejoice every morning as I awake from my nice, cozy, warm bed. How you've already blessed me each morning with that. Thank you for a body that can move and function as I begin to ready myself for the ministry and the tasks that lie ahead. Thank you for the beauty of this world that you let me see as I peer out of my bathroom window or begin driving to school. Thank you for mornings full of sunshine, and thank you for teaching me to be appreciative of the gray and rainy ones too. Thank you for opportunities to tell my students how great and awesome and wonderful you are. Thank you so much for blessing me with the days spent at Cross Plains Christian School. Thank you for allowing me to exercise whether running or riding my bike. I know it is a gift from you. Thank you for daily conversations and time spent with my family that means so much to me and make me feel needed and loved. Thank you for giving me a calmness, confidence, and security while I traverse through a world that doesn't seem to love you much. I am so sorry for that. You don't deserve how you are treated. Thank you for the wisdom that you give to me each day as I ask for it. And thank you for teaching me to ask for it. Thank you for all the unexpected surprise blessings you never fail to give me every day. The beauty of a cloud formation, the wonder I feel when watching the planets, stars, and moon each evening, the lessons I learn as I study both science and your word, the smell of a chimney fire in the air, the satisfying crunch of leaves under my feet, a beautiful bird that lights upon my feeder, or the tinkling of the chimes that were given to me when Mom died. You are so kind to me always, so, so very good. It is so easy to rejoice in you every single day. I feel your presence with me each moment that I live. Thank you for making each new day feel like a hug from you, where I will forever be safe within your loving arms.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God, for your church and the love that you have for your church by sending your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die and take the sin debt upon himself. I'm grateful that whosoever believes in Jesus as Savior becomes a member of your church. I'm thankful that as a young man, I understood that I was a sinner in need of a Savior and accepted Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. The church is made up of law believers around the world in all different communities or local churches like Crosslands Bible Church. I'm thankful in the Bible we learn that the church is the body of Christ, with Christ at the head and the members work together to spread the gospel and show the love of Christ to our local communities, state, nation, and the ends of the world. I'm thankful for Crosslands Bible Church where we can worship together, we can encourage one another, we can share in the joys, and also bear one another's burdens. I'm thankful as a church we can pray for each other, lift up our burdens to God, and come boldly to the throne of grace that we may attain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. I'm thankful that in the Bible we also learn that the church is the bride of Christ, and that Jesus is coming back to take the church to ever live in his presence for all eternity in heaven with all the other believers. I'm thankful to be a part of the family of God. And it reminds me of the song, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm a part of the family of God.
Amen. 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 Were you blessed by those good testimonies? I was. I was. Amen. Well, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11 this morning. 1 Corinthians 11. For most families, Thanksgiving revolves around a table. What happens at that table on Thanksgiving Day? Well, as we gather around that table with our loved ones, we share a delicious meal. For many people, that's turkey. And then there's the side dishes. I particularly like sweet potato casserole along with other side dishes with that turkey. And then we top it off with dessert. And for us, it's usually a good piece of pumpkin pie. And I like lots of whipped cream on top. And so in our family, we like to, as God enables us to gather on Thanksgiving Day around the table. And at that table, we enjoy that meal together. But really, it's much more than a meal. A meal is what brings us together. But it's much more. It's fellowship. It's love around that table. And we share our lives together around that table on Thanksgiving Day. Well, beloved, the Lord's table is very similar to that Thanksgiving table. In a few moments, we'll share the bread and the cup together, but we'll really share much, much more. Much more than just a wafer and a little grape juice. Follow as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." My message this morning is entitled, "Thank you, God, for your table." Thank you, God, for your table. And before we partake of the Lord's table this morning, communion, I want to try to answer this question for all of us. Why gather for communion? Why take the time on the Sunday before Thanksgiving to celebrate the Lord's table? Well, I believe there are four reasons from the passage before us and one other passage that we gather together, much like we gather together on Thanksgiving with our loved ones, why we gather together as a church, as those who love God and love each other around the Lord's table. The first is this: we gather to affirm truth. We gather to affirm truth. Jesus used two simple elements, two symbols, to teach his disciples a lesson that they would never, ever forget. First, he took the bread. He took the bread. It says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed." Remember, he was about to go to the cross when the Lord's table was instituted. And when he was about to be betrayed and go to the cross, he took bread. He gave thanks to his heavenly Father, and then he broke it and said, "Eat this. It's my body which is broken for you. Do it in remembrance of me." Beloved, in a few moments as we take this bread, this wafer, this bread represents the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. At Calvary, he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. A crown of thorns was placed upon his brow. Nails were pounded into his hands and feet, and on the cross, a Roman soldier put a spear in his side. His body was broken for us on the cross of Calvary. The bread represents, it represented there at the table with his disciples, and it represents for his church today, for Cross Lanes Bible Church, his broken body. That's what the bread represents. It symbolizes. And then there's the cup. The cup represents his shed blood upon the cross. On the cross, my friends, Jesus' body was bloodied for you. It was bloodied for you. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. In other words, the cross had to take place. Jesus had to die on that cross. He had to shed his blood, his precious blood, so that we could have salvation. So my friends, communion affirms this truth. The truth is this: salvation is free, but it isn't cheap. And we must make that differentiation. Salvation is free, but folks, it is not cheap. Jesus' body was broken. His blood was shed. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We gather together this morning at Cross Lanes Bible Church to affirm truth. We also gather to assess our lives. To assess our lives. Verses 27 and 28 say this: "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." You know, my friends, examination is an important aspect of the Christian life. Examination is so important, and the Bible tells us here that we have a responsibility. It's not somebody else's responsibility to examine our lives. It's not my job as the pastor to examine your life. I have a responsibility as we gather at the table, and that responsibility is to examine my own heart, my own life, and so do you. We have a responsibility, and in that responsibility, we are to take action. And as we examine our own hearts, if we find sin, we are to deal with it. We are to deal with it. You see, a proper assessment will lead to humble repentance. As we come to the table and we are obedient to the Lord, part of that obedience is to look within, to examine. Is there sin that we have not dealt with? Now at the cross, when we accept Jesus as Savior, He washes our sins away. He takes our sins upon Him. And that's such a blessing. But as we go through a sin-cursed world, we have wicked thoughts in our minds at times. We say things that aren't true. We sin against the Lord, even as believers, with our thoughts and our actions and the words that we say. And so, what is the Lord's table all about? One thing is an assessment. Lord, where do I stand with You today? And Lord, if there's any sin, like David prayed, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. And that's what we do at the Lord's table. The Bible says in verse 28, examine yourself and then eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You see, the Bible says then in verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. When we look at our own hearts, when we have a proper assessment of our sin and we respond in humble repentance, God doesn't have to discipline us as His children. We take care of business. And He smiles upon us the fact we humbly came before Him and dealt with our sin. You know, my friend, sin will be dealt with one way or another. It's so much better if we examine ourselves at the Lord's table and take care of that. Communion is a time for examination, a time for confession. And you know what? It's a time for the joy of forgiveness. And forgiveness from a holy God should bring a joy to our hearts. We gather to assess our lives. And then we gather to announce His return. Part of the reason we come to the table is that we announce the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. The very fact that we take of the bread, we partake of the cup, is announcing to a world around us that we believe Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that this morning? Jesus is coming again. This is certain. The only question is when. When? And folks, I believe it's soon. I believe because of some of the things that all of us have gone through in this past 6 or 7 months, there's a longing in our hearts for Jesus to come back. There's a longing like maybe we've never had before to leave this sin-cursed world. And communion proclaims that Jesus is coming again for His church, for all those who are blood-washed in Jesus Christ. What a source of joy for all believers. No more coronavirus. I guarantee this. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. Totally. I know a few things about heaven. I don't know everything about heaven. I do know this. We won't have to wear masks. One of the biggest amens I've gotten in a long time. We won't have to social distance. We won't have to fear this unseen virus. There'll be no coronavirus in heaven. There'll be no more corrupt elections and corrupt politicians and all God's people said. There'll be no more pain and no more suffering. What a day that will be. The fact that Jesus is coming again and we proclaim it through this table is a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel. If anybody is here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, I plead with you, understand what the bread and cup represent. As a sinner in need of a Savior, Jesus' body was broken. His blood was shed upon the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we understand that God loves us so much that He gave Jesus to have a broken body and to shed His blood to die on that cross for us. And when we receive that free gift of eternal life, by asking Him to cleanse us of our sin, by saying, Lord, I believe, and putting our faith and trust in His amazing grace. The Bible says He gives us that gift of eternal life. And you know how good that gift is good for? Forever. For all eternity. Jesus is coming soon. We proclaim it at the Lord's table. Be ready. Be ready. Communion is a time to announce and a time to rejoice in Christ's soon return. And then finally, we gather to adore the Lord. We affirm truth. We assess our lives. We announce His return and we adore our Lord. And for that, I want to read just one verse from Matthew chapter 26. This is in the Gospels where Matthew is recording an eye account, witness of being there when communion first began. And it says they ended this way in verse 30. They ended the Lord's Supper this way. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. When they had sung a hymn, we worship in communion. The first communion concluded with worship. And how did they worship? They sang a hymn of praise. This first hymn at communion was probably a psalm of David. A psalm that rejoiced in the Lord Jehovah God and praised God for sending His Son, who was about to go to the cross of Calvary for their sins. Folks, as we come to the Lord's table, we partake of the bread, we partake of the cup, and we sing praise to God. And that's not by accident. We do it because Jesus did it with His disciples at the very first taking of communion. We sing to adore the Lord. Folks, when we sing the songs we will sing at the end of communion today, it is not to impress anybody. When we sing these songs, it is not to entertain you. We sing with an upward gaze that Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, now sits at the right hand of God on high, and that same Jesus is going to return for us someday. And we sing out of love and thanksgiving. We give thanks with grateful hearts that He is great, He is good, and that Jesus is our song and salvation. And so, beloved, communion is a special time of rejoicing. Yes, we come to this table often with burdens on our hearts, and yet through this table, our hearts can be lifted toward the Lord. And we can give thanks to Him in adoration. We give thanks, we rejoice, we praise our Redeemer. And so, brothers and sisters at Cross Lanes Bible Church, I say, come. Come to the table. Come to affirm truth. Come to assess your life. Come to announce His return. Come to adore your Lord. Come to the table. Share fellowship like you would with your own family at Thanksgiving. Share love and share your lives. Come. Heavenly Father, as we come to the Lord's table, we couldn't be more thankful. And Lord, in an unusual time, at a time when this whole world seems to be turned upside down, at a time when for a couple months we couldn't gather together, and now we gather, but we're wearing masks and we're separated with pews between us where people aren't sitting, and we're not shaking hands, and we're not hugging each other, and we're keeping our distance, and some cannot come and are watching by live stream because of health issues or whatever the reason may be that they can't be with us, and so we have to take the Lord's table to them in a sense online. Lord, it's an unusual time with this virus, with the election that we just completed, with health issues and so forth. It's just different. And yet perhaps because there's been such a struggle for many of us this year, perhaps this Thanksgiving will be more blessed than ever. Perhaps right now the Lord's table will speak to us and minister to us like it never has before. We've not gathered since February to do this. And so, Lord, we thank you. We give praise to you, and we know we celebrate the Lord's table because you paid it all on the cross for us. So we acknowledge our debt, our sin debt. We also praise you for your matchless grace. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to continue on now with the Lord's table, and we'll do it differently than we've ever done it before. And I'm so grateful somebody figured out a way to do this simply, but when you came in, you should have picked up a little cup with some grape juice in it. On the top of it is a little wafer like this. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to peel back the top of that cup. And then as you peel that back, and it's simple to do, there's a little wafer there. Just take it. Before we do partake of the bread, however, I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads and close our eyes and take a moment or two to reflect, to spend time adoring the Lord. If there's sin in your life, and you say, I haven't, you know, killed anybody this week. No, we haven't done that. But maybe as you reflect, the Lord will reveal to you something you've said or done that, you know, didn't please God. Just take care of it with the Lord. Reflect on Him. Assess your life. And then after Pastor Mark's played a little bit, then I'm going to ask Doug Crago to come. And he's going to come right here to the mic, and he's going to return thanks for the bread, and then we'll take it. And then we'll move on to the cup. So as Pastor Mark plays, let's bow our head, close our eyes, and spend time with the Lord.